God, but I aspire to be a man of God, but I must confess, probably I haven't reached that standard yet. Yeah, so yeah, may God be gracious to us and enable us for His calling every day of our life. Now, this morning it's great to have heard from you, to worship with you, to have heard from Andrew and Daniel going to the Philippines on Friday. It's very exciting, isn't it? And of course, Susan, you know, great testimony, you know, tremendous. And also just now, of course, the challenge, you know, of Africa, the challenge of the needs that they are out there in the community. This morning, I just have a very short message to share with you. I hope the message will be short. At least it's a very short scripture reading. Mark chapter 1. Verse 1. A very simple verse. Maybe you have read this verse often before. I thought this morning just to share with you the meaning of the first verse of the Gospel of Mark. If you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. Just one verse this morning. Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version. It says here in my Bible, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you noted that? The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, who have read that statement before? Please put up your hand. Maybe half of the congregation, that's good to see. Now, have you reflected on it? Have you understood it? Only a few verses, but a lot of meaning in those verses. If we go to the next slide, we're going to do some exciting things this morning. We're going to learn some Greek. And now, there is Mark chapter 1, verse 1 in Greek. Isn't that exciting? Now, you can read with me. Let's see how good is your Greek this morning. The first word there is archei. 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 Then that means beginning. Archei, beginning. The first word in Mark's Gospel is beginning. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Now, the second word is only a little word. It means to. To. It is just the article the. Beginning the, and then the next word is euangelion. Euangelion. What does that mean? Gospel. Yes. Gospel. Then we have Jesu. Jesus. Then we have Christu. Wow, your Greek is good. Tremendous. And then the next word is we who, that means some. And then the last word there is thihu. God, yes. Tremendous. Archei tu evangeliu, Jesu Christu, we who, thihu. Let's read it together. Archei tu evangeliu, Jesu Christu, we with you. Now let's see if we can translate it. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Tremendous! Wow. Derek, have you been teaching them Greek here in your congregation? Yeah. Now, these words are worth their weight in gold. Very important. How many words are there? How many words are there in the Greek? Seven, that's right. There are seven words in the first verse there of Mark. Very important to note that. If you look at that statement there, there's something that's absent there. Seven words, But something is missing. Can you note what is missing in the first verse there? Exactly. The verb is missing. There's no verb there. So in other words, it's not a sentence, is it? It's not a sentence. So in other words, what is it? The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's right, exactly. It's a title. It's a title. Now, in my Bible here, I've got a title there, Mark. Some of your Bible, the Gospels according to Mark. But our titles in the Gospels were added only later on. The titles in our Bibles were not part of the original manuscript. They were added later on. So in fact, strictly speaking, more accurately, the first verse of Mark's Gospel is the title of his book. It's the title of his book. Now, this is our first point. Note the beginning. What is this the beginning of? The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, what is the beginning here? Have you considered that? What is being introduced here? The new covenant? Maybe, perhaps. Now, yeah. This is odd, isn't it? Do you think it's strange? It's bizarre? We are beginning to read the book of Mark, aren't we? How does Mark begin? This is the beginning of my book about Jesus. That's a bit odd, isn't it? When you write an essay, I'm sure each one of us here has written an essay at school or somewhere, university. How do you begin your essay? Now, teacher, this is the beginning of my essay. Do you begin like that? It seems a bit obvious. We don't need to be told that this is the beginning of the book of Mark. Of course it's the beginning. What else could it be? Mark was a bit slow, wasn't he? No. I think sometimes we are a bit slow to get Mark's point. What is this the beginning of? It is not the beginning of the book of Mark. It is not the beginning of Mark's story of Jesus. Sometimes when we read this, the beginning of the gospel, and then of course it talks about John the Baptist. So we think here, maybe the coming of John the Baptist, that is the beginning of the book of the gospel of Mark. But no, that is not what Mark means. Note, verse 1 here introduces what? The whole book of Mark. It is a title. It's a title. It's not a sentence. So here in verse 1, we do not have an introduction just to the ministry of John the Baptist. We have an introduction to the whole book of Mark, to the whole story of Jesus, as Mark has written it down in his book here. 16 chapters. So in other words, what do we have here? What is this beginning of? The beginning of the gospel is what Mark is writing about here in his story. What is his story all about? Of course, it's about John the Baptist. What I said, that is the beginning of the gospel. Then, of course, Jesus, isn't it? Jesus did a lot of teaching, a lot of miracles. What is that? That is the beginning of the gospel. But then, most importantly in the story, what do we have at the end? We have Jesus' cross, his suffering, his death. But what is that? According to Mark, it's only the beginning of the story. But then, what happens after Jesus died? The resurrection. He was raised again, the third day, from the dead. What is that, according to Mark? It's the... Note that. It is only the beginning of the gospel. How does Mark end? How does Mark end? Where does Mark end? I'm a teacher, so I have many questions. where does Mark end? How many chapters do we have in the book of Mark? 12 chapters. Your version must be very short. 16 chapters, isn't it? The last chapter in the Gospel of Mark is chapter 16. Now, where is the last verse in chapter 16? That's right. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed this word by signs that accompanied them. Isn't that great? But there's a problem. I hope I'm not going to trouble any of you too much this morning. But there's a problem. What's the problem? Note at the end of verse 8. In my Bible, there is a footnote. Verse 8. Do you see that? I don't know if that's in your Bible. In my Bible, there's a footnote here. The most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark verses 9 to 20. Do you see that? So, where does Mark end? The earliest manuscript, the most reliable manuscript, ends where? Ends at verse 8. So, in fact, if you do some other literary studies, you will know that, in fact, some of the things being said in verses 9 to 20 is not Mark. The style, the theology is quite different from the gospel itself. So, most probably, the original gospel, Mark, ends his story about Jesus at verse 8. Now, let's see how that ends. Now, this, of course, was when the woman discovered the empty tomb. And then they saw the angel there, isn't it? And the angels told him to go and to tell his disciples, especially Peter, that Jesus will meet with him. Now, what did they do? Verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, what kind of ending is that? Do you think that's a good ending? Really optimistic, you know, climax. No, this is odd. Isn't it? It's strange. They just discovered the empty tomb. Jesus is not there. He has been raised. Now they have to go out and preach the gospel. And how did they respond? They said, trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That's cool. If you were to end your essay like that, what kind of mark will your teacher give you? This is ridiculous. It's not an ending at all, is it? No. The story, obviously, does not end here. And see, that is Mark's point. The story that he wrote about Jesus, John the Baptist, Jesus' teaching, Jesus' ministry, Jesus' miracles, many things there. And of course, the cross, the resurrection, huge historical events. But what is the point that Mark is making here in verse 1? These things are what? Are only the beginning of the story. It's only the beginning of the gospel. This is exciting, isn't it? When Captain Cook discovered Australia, it was a great historical event. But it was only the beginning of the modern history of Australia. When a baby is born, it's a great day, isn't it? We will celebrate the birthday, but it's only a beginning of a new life. When you ask your girlfriend to marry you, it's very exciting, isn't it? But again, it's only the beginning of a marriage. So to the gospel. When we read the story of Mark, the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the incarnation,
the Christmas story,
Jesus' ministry, his teaching, his miracles, his death, his resurrection. Yes, earth-shattering events, life-changing events. But these things were just the beginning. So in other words, what's our conclusion? When we read about Jesus, we are not reading about ancient history. The gospel is continuing today. The story is continuing into our lives. Of course, the women were scared. They didn't tell anything to anyone. Of course, we know that many things happened after that. Jesus himself came and appeared to the disciples. Jesus himself came and appeared to the woman. And their lives were completely changed. Congregation, the same thing has happened throughout history. The same thing is happening today. And again, this morning, already we have had some testimonies of how that is happening. How the gospel is changing people's lives. The second point I want you to note is note the word gospel in Mark chapter 1 verse 1. Note the word gospel there. This is the beginning of what? This is the beginning of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? What does Mark mean by gospel? Now, first of all, it does not mean a book. It's not a book. So, of course, we use it in that way today. The gospel of Mark. We mean the book of Mark. But that is not what Mark means by the gospel. Also, the gospel is not a philosophy. It's not a theological statement. It's not some idea about God. That is not the gospel. Neither is the gospel what? Good news. The gospel is not good news. Oh dear, now I'm really saying some radical things here. Let me explain. Let's look at the Greek. Remember the word for gospel in Greek? Euangelion. Euangelion. Now, euangelion, that word there consists of two parts. It's a compound word. The first part is eu, which means good. The second part is logos, which means news. So euangelion, if I put it together, what does it mean? No, it doesn't mean good news. Let me again explain what I mean. Word meaning does not depend ultimately on the part of the word, but how the word is used at the time in the context. So, for example, an English example, the word butterfly. What does butterfly mean? Now, butterfly, again, two parts of the word butterfly, isn't it? First part is butter, the second part is fly. So, it is a little bit of butter flying around. That's a butterfly. Is that? No, of course not. You know, we all know what we mean by a butterfly. How do we know what it means? Because we know what it is. We know how we use the word. So, too, the word gospel. Our popular definition is good news. Now, obviously the gospel is good news. But that is not really what Mark means by the word gospel. What does Mark mean by the word gospel? The word gospel in Mark's book about Jesus is very important. The word occurs seven times. Seven words at the beginning. The word gospel occurs seven times throughout the book of Mark. Very important for Mark. Now, we can't look up all those references. But if we do a word study, you'll discover that in the Gospel of Mark, the gospel equates with power. The gospel is power. To express that a little bit better, the gospel refers to the power of Jesus in changing people's lives. It's the power of Jesus in changing people's lives. just a quick reference to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. What does Mark mean by his word gospel? Now, the word gospel in the Bible already occurs in the Old Testament. But a very important reference for us is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 and following. Because here also we have the word gospel. Verse 9. Note what it says. You who bring good tidings to Zion, get up on the high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Now, in the Greek translation, good tidings here is gospel. So, those who are proclaiming the gospel, lift up your voice. Get up onto the high mountain. Now, what is the gospel? Let's read on. The last line of verse 9. Who say to Zion, here is your God. Behold your God. God himself is going to come. Verse 10. The sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm will rule for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. So, what is the gospel? God himself is going to come. And God is going to rule. God is going to establish his kingdom. That is the gospel. Isaiah 52 verse 7. The same thing. Again, here in the original, we have the word gospel. 52 verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who brings the gospel, who proclaim peace, who brings good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, note the last line there, what is the gospel? Your God reigns. What is the gospel? God himself is going to come. God is going to reign. God is going to change the world. It's power. This is what Mark means by the gospel. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. In the gospel of Mark we have many examples of how Jesus changes people's lives. One example is in Mark chapter 5. The demon-possessed man. We all remember that story. Mark chapter 5. Remember one day when Jesus got out of a boat? And man with an evil spirit came up from the tombs to meet him. Mark chapter 5 verse 3. This man lived in the tombs. Imagine that. Lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore. Not even with a chain. Now, he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he would cry out and cut himself with stones. He won't invite him over for dinner after church. Terrible, fearful. But then this person met with Jesus. And note how his life was completely changed. Verse 15. When the town folk came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there. Before he was running around everywhere. Now he was sitting there, calmly, dressed. Before he was naked. Now he had clothes on. And in his right mind. Before he was crazy. Now he had come to his senses. Congregation, the gospel is power. The gospel is the story of Jesus that can change people's lives. It's not just a book. It is not just a proposition, a philosophy. It is not just good news. The gospel is a verb. It's a doing word.
It does things. It changes things. There's power here.
Remember, how many words do we have in Mark chapter 1 verse 1?
7 words.
How does it begin? The first word is archai. What does archai mean?
Beginning.
Now, have you heard a statement such as that before? Any other place in the Bible? What other book in the Bible begins with beginning? No prizes for the answer here. Yeah, the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1 verse 1, isn't it? Do you remember how Genesis 1 verse 1 begins? That's right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's the same word as we have here in the Gospel of Mark. In the beginning, the same word. Now, a question. I may give you a prize if you get this question right. Now, in the original Hebrew Bible, how many words do you think there are in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1? Wow, you've got a good guess. 7 words. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the Hebrew Bible, we have 7 words there. Why do we have 7 words? Is that special in Genesis chapter 1? Yes, it is. Of course, 7 days. The perfect creation. Perfection. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What happened? There was darkness. God said, let there be light. And there was light. The first day. Do you think that event was important for the history of the world? Pretty important, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think anyone will agree. No, that has nothing to do with me. Irrelevant for my life, no. If no Genesis 1 verse 1, we were not here this morning. Very important, obviously. Important for history. What is Mark saying in Mark 1 verse 1? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here we have a new beginning. That is going to be as significant for the history of the world, for the history of humanity, for you, as Genesis 1 verse 1. Power. This event is going to change the world. How does Mark end? Let's go back to chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 1, verse 2, what happens? When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Now, note verse 2. Very early, on the first day of the week, have you read about a first day of the week somewhere else? Just after sunrise, have you read about the sun, the light, somewhere else in the Bible? What is happening here? Congregation, here we have the start of what? Of a new creation. A new beginning. The gospel is the power of God, is the power of Jesus, what? To change lives. And this is not just theory. Now, this is not just some nice sentiments. No, this is reality. Again, this morning we do not have time to give examples, illustrations of how that happens. No, just one person comes to mind some years ago, an Australian friend of mine. He came to the church, became a Christian, was baptized. He told me, there is not a sin that you can think of that he did not commit. Every bad thing that you can think of, he had done. But what happened? He met with Jesus. And his life was totally changed. He became a deacon in the church. Serve God. The gospel is the power of God to change lives. In other words, what's our conclusion? The gospel can change our lives. It's not just a theory. It's something real. If your life is in need of transformation, meet with Jesus. He can change it. Lastly, know Jesus. I'll just speak for another 3 minutes. Then I'll conclude. Note what it says. Why is the gospel this story that can change our lives? Because it's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who is Jesus? Very important. Jesus means Savior. Jesus means Savior. In the Old Testament, there were two people with the name of Jesus. Joshua. Joshua, Moses' successor. And then Joshua, the high priest, when God's people returned from captivity after the Babylonian exile. Very important. Both of these Joshuas in the Old Testament, what? They were people who restored the fortunes of God's people. They led God's people back to the promised land. Of course, they pointed forward to the greatest Savior, Jesus. It is in Jesus where you can reach your goals for your life. It is through Jesus that God will bring you to the promised land. Jesus is Savior. Christ. What does Christ mean? Again, in the Old Testament, Christ means the anointed one. In the Old Testament, three kinds of people were anointed. And they were prophets, priests, and kings. Prophets, priests, and kings. Jesus is our priest. He died for our sins on the cross. Jesus is praying for us today at the right hand of God. Jesus is our prophet. He teaches us what we should do, how we should live our lives. Jesus is also our king. He leads us. He protects us. But finally here, who is Jesus? He is also the Son of God. What does that mean in the Bible? It means He is God Himself. What is the gospel? Remember Isaiah 40? Proclaim the gospel. This is what you should say. Behold your God. Who is this one? Behold your God. It is Jesus Christ. He is the creator of the universe. He is Yahweh. He is our Savior. He is our priest, our prophet, our king. He is the one who can change our lives, who can restore our lives, who can bring us renewal, who can bring us hope, who can bring us a new tomorrow. Finally, this morning, do we want to follow Jesus? Do you want to meet with Him? Do you want your life to change? Remember what the angels told the woman in front of the empty tomb. Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go. Tell His disciples and Peter, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him, just as He told you. This morning for us, He's not here, He's not there. He has risen. And what's more, He is going ahead of you. Tell His disciples and Derek. Why do they especially need to tell Derek? Because Derek needs transformation in his life. Derek needs to prepare.
And also tell Andrew.
Amazing, isn't it?
Tell his disciples and tell Andrew.
Why do we need to tell Andrew? He needs to meet with Jesus. Especially before he hops on that plane on Friday morning, you know.
Jesus going ahead of you way into Galilee.
If you read the Gospel of Mark, Galilee is what kind of place? It's a place of powerful ministry. Isn't that great, Andrew? Tell his disciples, Andrew, Jesus is going ahead of you, wait, to the Philippines. There you will see him. Congregation, this is not ancient history. Jesus is alive. He is ready to meet with us. The challenge for us, do we want to meet with him? Are we ready to respond? We need to do something.
We need to go!
Where? To where Jesus said he will meet with us.
Galilee!
The place of ministry. The place where there is need. The place where the gospel needs to be preached. The Philippines. Senegal. In our street here in Brisbane. Again, I'm going to say some more radical things here this morning.
Maybe not here at church. Not here if you want to meet with Jesus. Why?
Again, please forgive me. Because we don't have any real needs here. You know, we're all rich, we're all healthy, otherwise we won't be here this morning. No, Jesus is not really here. Where is Jesus? He's there. At the side of the sick.
He's there where there's oppression, where there's exploitation. He's there where people are in desperate need of his healing touch. He's there at the place of ministry.
For us here this morning, again, please forgive me. Take what I say with a grain of salt. But perhaps you may not meet with Jesus just by coming to church. You will meet with Jesus by stepping out. By taking up the challenge of ministry. Being there where there is a need. Standing in the gap. Going into the lion's den. It's very scary. It's very challenging. Certainly. But don't be afraid. Why? Because there, you will meet with Jesus. If Jesus is with us, what will we fear? Andrew and Daniel and the rest of the team. Now, if Jesus goes with you to the Philippines, into the slums, would you still stay at home? Imagine that congregation. Jesus coming. Why don't we all go to the Philippines and preach the gospel in the slums there? Would you sign up for the short-term mission? I don't think there's anyone here who will not sign up. Of course, it's very challenging, isn't it? Or Senegal, you know, some of the pictures we saw here this morning. Are you brave enough to go there? I'm not. It's really tough. It's really tough. But if Jesus were to be here with us this morning, I'm going there. Do you want to come with me? We won't fear a thing. Congregation, this is a promise of the gospel. I'll finish. Sorry, that was more than 3 minutes. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, Son of God, the beginning. It is just the beginning. It's not ancient history. It's continuing in our lives. The gospel is power to change lives. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. He is the perfect Savior. So in other words, Mark cannot finish his gospel because the story is going on. So, you know, if we have a big enough book here, we will read, 2,000 years later, Jesus also met with Derek. And his life was completely changed. Jesus also met with Andrew. And his life was completely changed. Do you want to write your name into the story? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you for the gospel. We thank you that 2,000 years ago you came to this earth, that you died on the cross, that you was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, we also want to thank you that your amazing love, your amazing power to change and to transform us is even continuing today. Lord, we pray that you will so bless us. We pray that we will know the gospel. We pray that we will know you. Lord, we are in desperate need of this gospel. We pray that you will bless our church. Bless Roger as he serves in India. We pray that you will bless our eldership, our deacons, every member who serves you in various capacities, at church or at home or at work. Lord, we pray that your grace may be with each and every one. Again, we want to commit the mission team to the Philippines, to you. We pray that indeed that you will meet with them in the Philippines, and through them that you will change people's lives. Amen.